Hey everyone, welcome to the Creator's Playbook. I'm Robbie.
I'm Steven.
And today we're going to be talking about doing a heist.
Oh,
breaking into a place and stealing something.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm
not
trying to
real obviously. We tell stories about these things though. So,
guys, don't go break into places. That's not cool.
Just write about it.
Just write about it. It's actually immoral.
Or read about it.
That's against the law.
Yeah, don't do it for real.
Okay. Hi guys. Welcome. Hi guys. Welcome to our episode on heists.
Welcome.
So heists. Not really a whole lot to say here. I think the interesting thing about doing a heist is, are the people robbing it good people or bad people? Because
good question.
It has
maybe
good. maybe they're good bad people, or they're bad good people. It's hard to really know which way you need to go. But I feel like it self manifests. But the beats in a story that you want to take when it comes to doing a heist, and the questions that you want to answer are, I think personally, going to revolve around the puzzle. Because in every heist, it's a puzzle. Your audience is interested in knowing how are they going to crack this egg open and get to that sweet yellow golden yolk. Yeah, can they pull it off? And so the thing you have to do is really establish the challenge. What is the challenge? Is it a giant egg with a golden yolk at the middle?
It could be. If I were to go on a heist, I'd go for the giant golden egg. I mean, Jack and the Beanstalk did.
He did.
That was his heist.
Yeah.
The goose, at least. He wanted the goose.
Yeah. Which made the eggs. That's a little more like.
I just really realized that is a heist story, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was probably one of the first heist stories. Little Jack breaking into the giant's house, getting the sweet goose.
And avoiding capture. Oh my goodness. Literally my mind is blown right now.
I want to do a whole new story where it's Jack wearing like nothing but dark clothes and a bandana, and he's literally breaking into a massive giant like bank. It's like the giant's bank to go get the golden goose.
I kind of feel like there needs to be a team of people. There has to be like the getaway beanstalk cart.
Oh, yeah.
That's like waiting out there so that they can parasol or parachute, whatever they do.
there's like his mom is there, but it's not actually his mom. It's just that really like rough and tough old lady that's like super muscular.
Mother Hen is like her agent name.
Mother Hen, I love it. And she's the one that's like she like carries all the explosives.
You got the bread.
She's got a Russian. You don't understand. I don't make things explode. I make them want to explode.
You promised me golden egg, not solid gold eggs. I wanted them for my cooking. I can't cook with gold.
She's like this sweet old lady that's really tough on the outside, but she's been like taking care of Jack his whole life. Just help rearing him up to be the perfect, I don't know what you call it, robber, I guess. But no one likes the giant. Heister. He's a heister. But yeah, so the puzzle, Steven, he needs to solve the puzzle. We as a writer need to be able to solve the puzzle. So once we set up the challenge, you know, what they're breaking into this mystical Rubik's Cube in the story, then it's the how. How do they do it? And that's essentially what a heist is. When you really break it down to its basics.
Yep. How do you distract the person that you're breaking into their safe space? What kind of technology or gear are you going to use in order to solve one of these problems? What goes wrong? Every heist story that I know of has a going wrong point, and how do they get out of it?
Usually in every story, there's like a key, whether it's a passcode or a physical key that they have to go replicate or find before they get in. So there's always that guy in the crew that like, oh, I'll get the key. He's probably Australian. I'll get the key. Oh, that's not Australian. I don't know what that is. Well, I got a prompt. Should we do a prompt?
Yeah.
Let's get into it,
guys. I'm excited.
Let's hop in. Okay, here we go. And it's actually really short. You ready?
I'm ready.
Deep in the recesses of his mind, a clock began to tick, clicking with the precision only an organic mind could manage, but severely tuned with months of practice. He glanced down once at the stopwatch clutched in his fingers, its hour and minute hand just about aligned with the number 12 dangling from the top. The second had jumped closer and closer until all three, in one moment, were aligned. He moved, his feet landing exactly as they should to the inch as he entered in the security gate. A light flashed off the corner of his eyes exactly at 12:01. The surveillance matrix would be logging his identity, filing away the time, location, and mood that was on his face into a digital folder where it would begin to process connections. It would look for oddities and similarities against its massive, gluttonous database, trying to make sense of it all.
Probably I like how one of the first things that it recognizes is how, like, what his mood is. Oh, he seems really happy today. I'm going to compare this to all the other people that are happy when committing heists.
Oh, the system knows who's all depressed. It's keeping track of all the depressed people that are going in, just being like, that guy's sad. That guy's sad every day that he comes in. Probably by now, it was beginning to get a little suspicious and confused at this man that had been so consistent over the last month. Or at least he hoped it was. Otherwise, these years of planning would go to a complete and utter waste. He slid his badge into place at 12:03, and by 12:04, he was walking up the steps and would enter into the master room. A massive, globular swirling light floated far above him, made up of trillions of pinpoints of light, all flickering. He would stare at it for exactly 30 seconds, wearing a face of awe. Then, he would turn to a vending machine, purchase a light cherry soda, and then leave. Oh no, what did I say?
What a heist.
What a heist. He got it. He got the
he purchased a cherry soda out of the master bedroom.
And he booked it out of there. All the security robots turned on and started chasing after him. Get that
cherry
bag.
Soda's not for you, even though you bought it.
You're not authorized to purchase that. Get back here. What a swindler. they like get him to the ground and he's just like, I'm a man. I owe
swindler. Stop. I purchased this.
This soda's mine. Okay, I should probably wind it back just a little bit just so it hits the beat. So I'm rewinding.
Okay.
He would stare at it for exactly 30 seconds, wearing a face of awe. Then he would turn to the vending machine, purchase a light cherry soda, and then leave. Innocent, harmless, but unbearably consistent. Out of the corner of his eyes, he caught movement and felt a thrill. For the first time in 30 days, the surveillance camera was tracking him. For the first time in a month, everything was happening precisely on time. Bump, 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 wow. There you go.
Interesting. Okay.
That's your prompt. Yeah, I wanted to keep it open-ended. The biggest thing you get here is there's an AI involved.
Uh-huh.
And that he's been planning it for years. And the last thing is obviously this is sci-fi to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go.
I think the thing that's the most interesting to me about this story is that the security systems are okay with him being there. It's okay for him to be there. It's okay for him to be inside. And obviously, as you had stated, he's trying to create patterns so that he just blends into the background.
Or throwing this out here as well, maybe he's been trying to get enough attention to then potentially create to get the whole system to focus on him.
Mm-hmm.
Create a distraction of some kind.
Like just why does he come in precisely at, you said 12:00?
Yeah, he comes in precisely.
Mm-hmm. He's wearing probably the same thing every single time. Goes into the master room, stares up at the ceiling of lights, purchases a soda, which I don't know why there's a vending machine in the master room unless I'm misunderstanding, like a master control room.
I actually left it open ended. I didn't want to define what it was, so we could decide. It's a master room of something.
Master of something. Buys a soda and leaves.
Yeah. He is single-handedly keeping the vending machine economy afloat.
Yeah.
By himself.
Now, you said he's been doing this every single day, every day for a month. How long has he been doing this?
I mean, I wasn't, well, just he started rotation. Doing it for a month, 30 days. He's been doing this exact same routine.
Every single day?
Every single day for a month.
Okay, okay, okay. So that's a lot to do. Think about. My first thoughts then is that there's probably an accomplice that
absolutely.
Is probably also doing something, but maybe that accomplice is doing something more chaotic, as in all of their movements Ooh. Are not set to a routine. And so he's the distraction. He's the bait.
I kind of have what I would think would be a cool scene if like the next scene is him going back to an office and, you know, he comes up, opens the door and sitting at a desk, looking as anxious as it could as a machine, mm-hmm. which is a robot. Mm-hmm. And the robot kind of like, you know, quickly pushes his hand against the desk, stands up and says like, how did it go? Did it notice today? Is it looking at you? Mm-hmm. And he kind of smiles and says, it worked. It's working. And I love this idea because
3 more years, we'll have the perfect distraction.
Robot laughs diabolic, like a robotic voice.
Maniacal laugh.
Maniacal laugh. But what do you think of this contrast where this system is perfectly organized and then here's a robot that's desperate to be disorganized, disorderly. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get too far into this, just kind of throwing that out there, one of the questions we do need to answer is what's being robbed? What do they want out of whatever this facility is? I did not want to define the facility. It's not necessarily a bank. It's okay. Not necessarily anything of that kind. But there is something here that needs to be stolen. And then we should probably figure out what's the puzzle.
So he buys a cherry soda, right? Every day. They're going to rob the vending machine back so that all those cherry sodas were actually free. He's actually planning like a giant banquet and didn't have enough money for the cherry soda. So he bought one every single day, didn't open it. And he's just like keeping them in like a fridge somewhere else. And now he's going to get that money back so he can use the money to get the venue.
He's just getting his change out of the machine. That was the whole plan.
That was the plan.
After 3 years of being the sole patron of this machine, he's like, oh, shoot. I need that money back. I can't afford the event. We got to get the machine. And he enlists his psychotic robot friend to help him out. Mm-hmm.
But this is really neat because I want to understand more. I think understanding the heist, we need to understand our environment a little bit more. So what do they keep here? What is, are we dealing with like an information center? Are we dealing with a bank? Are these like safety deposit boxes, storage units? I'm just throwing ideas out there.
What if it's a person? What if there's people stored here?
And he's going to get his girlfriend. You're laughing because that's what you were wanting.
Well, sort of. I mean, obviously it could be a love interest, but I mean, gosh dang it. Yeah, probably a little bit. Maybe a smidgers. Maybe a little itty bitty romance plot there. It doesn't actually have to be a person, but it could be an intelligence. Could be a computer. I mean, what if this is like a hub, a network of some kind that's powered by very specific types of AI? And what if this is part one of a heist? What if this is the heist for the even bigger heist? And they need the computer to get into this other place that they're about to do. Mm-hmm. So the main focus of this story is getting this particular computer. But the end goal is like, okay, now that we got this one, we're ready for the bigger one. Like that's the big twist at the end for our audience.
Here's something interesting. What if the heist, literally, if we're going to say that this is a two-parter heist, what if part one is to mark himself as the most suspicious person there? And so what he's stealing is attention.
He's stealing attention. Oh, of like the AI. He's stealing the attention of the AI. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That guards this facility?
Okay. Thoughts are coming together. What if this AI network is actually mirrored across other different facilities? And so this is probably like the like a weaker facility. It's not highly sought after. It maybe what's located here is simply not as important as other facilities.
Oh, interesting. It's vulnerable, is what you're saying.
Not necessarily vulnerable, but there's nothing really of high value. There's no reason for people to kind of break into this one. So this was their target one, to train the AI system to identify him while he's there. And what if they're trying to frame someone? What if they're trying to frame somebody who is at another location, or maybe transferred to another location, so that maybe they've analyzed this other person, how they walk, how they move, that they get a cherry soda every single day, but it's in a non like networked, guarded, it's not like an AI guarded network. And so,
well, that's actually a good point, because in the prompt it stated it's looking for similarities and oddities. It could be, because when a machine in real life looks at you, it takes common points of data and then it creates an identity out of that. So, you know, for example, when a machine is actually looking at your face and memorizing what it is, it's actually looking at the space between your eyes, your nose, and your mouth, and other parameters like that to be able to identify you, right? Made up of these numbers. So in the future, it could still be based on a similar kind of system where it's looking at how you walk, it's looking at your face, it's looking at your habits. And from there, it creates a profile by which it can identify you. That's actually fascinating, if what they're trying to get the machine to do is identify you as this individual,
as based a profile, off all
these numbers. Because it's hyper secure. It's the most secure system in the sci-fi world. They cracked it and they know what those parameters are and what they have to mimic to be able to gain that identity.
Right. And so he's now marking this stride as suspicious. He's marking the purchase of soda. So he could be marking the purchase of a very specific drink in a very specific way. And he's just doing it over and over and over again, because they're anticipating that their target is going to be transferred to a new location. And that new location is part of the security network. And so this new person who they've been mimicking this entire time is immediately going to be caught as suspicious, unbeknownst to them. So that when they get there, and the entire security system now is watching them, they can do the real heist.
Oh, interesting. So they're all planning on this moment, because perhaps this person is coming soon to the facility. And it's all based on this date. And they've been waiting for the last 30 days, you know, carefully watching and monitoring. And for the first time, the system is taking notice of them and probably waiting for them to, you know, break habit, do something different, and alert the system like something's off. They're taking advantage of the AI. Okay.
Well, and I wouldn't be surprised that these guys obviously know how the system works, so they could easily be into hacking. And maybe the person that they've been targeting this entire time, they're following all of their social medias, they're following all of their habits. They're like, this person has no idea that they're being cyber stalked to the extent that they are. And they're probably going in and like faking really good reviews for this employee of whatever business this is, so that they get a promotion to this big place, this upper end unit, so that as soon as they transfer there, they can start the actual thing. So now we know how they're going to break in. What are they breaking in to steal?
Well, we talked about it potentially being a computer, and whatever it being, how about we get a little more specific? What if it's a sci-fi universe? Let's say this is a galactic species. What if the thing, like that scene, scene in the head where the guy first walks into the office and there's the robot friend and they're kind of chatting up, but they've been friend for, let's say, the last decade. And this robot character is a very wacky thing, so desperate to be the embodiment of chaos in a way. And as you walk into the room, things are just a little bit off. Like, he drinks like soda and water, but he like just pours it against his face. And so we could say this is his place. And
drinks plants, like, soda every day. Like, he comes and takes the can, puts it on the desk, and his robot friend is like, finally, so pours it all over his face. Maybe his taste buds are actually on like the surface of like the skin on
his
the robot. Like, what if he has like taste buds like all over his face?
Gosh, that's weird.
He just like pours it all over his
face. I don't know if that's chaos. That's just evil. Why would you design a character like that?
Maybe he can touch things on the ground and detect what it is because it has like readers, but he's modified them actually to be taste buds instead of just like sensory recorders.
Yeah. See, this creates the opportunity for so many weird scenes. Like they go into this restaurant to discuss their plans and they both order a burger. And as the main guy is like taking a bite, the robot friend just smashes his head into the plate and just starts rolling his face around it.
Isn't
and
he lifts it up. Person on YouTube like, that smashes bread food. On their face.
Yeah, something like that. But he literally has like food like falling off his face as he like throws a thumbs up to the chef and the chef is just staring at him like, okay, whatever. I'm going to call him Binks. His name is Binky.
Binky?
Binks or Bink. Yep.
I like that. Cool robot.
But kind of rewinding back before we got off track on the weird face taste buds.
Come on, it's cool.
Actually, I kind of like this. I like the weirdness of this character. There's one thing in the room that draws their attention because now they know that they're this close to it. And it's the model of a ship. Not just any ship. It's an intergalactic ship with a space drive of which we can see parts in the room. These important mm-hmm. parts on the shelf, strange looking devices. And perhaps they're not just in an office in a small little shop. What if this is like a warehouse of some kind? And as we look out past the table where there's this model ship, we go through a window and there is a ship being constructed that mm-hmm. they are building. And what if they want to get off planet? They want to go be smugglers or something, pirates. I don't know. But the last thing they need is a computer that can handle the calculations for a space jump. And that's all they lack. Ooh. What if the guy on the inside is the space jump computer that's part of cracking the puzzle? Like they've been emailing each other back and forth. And the space jump computer wants to get out. It's like, guys, like I'm sick of this. I want to go see the universe too. Get me out of here.
No. I was just thinking. Okay. So what if most AIs have a personality? They found that it's a lot easier for humans to communicate and work with computer systems if the computer system had a personality to respond back to you. And so it's just kind of become the norm that you can like really shoot the breeze with your computer, so to speak. So what if, going all the way back to the beginning of the story, creating that character profile, the suspicious character profile, what if one of the security AI systems gets specifically assigned to data analyze this character profile that our main character is creating in the stride, going inside that room, ordering or buying from the vending machine? And so when our suspect gets transferred to the shipyard, or whatever, like ship storage, whatever this place is. What if when they get transferred, the AI actually gets transferred with him to this new location because they think that their suspect or the person that has now pinged on their system is now at a new location. And so obviously the AI that's been identifying and building this character profile of our suspect is now at a new location. So they just kind of move. And they become one of the characters and they're part of what's stolen and they're part of the heist.
Wow, this is actually kind of becoming a ragtag team story. I like it though. Most of the characters are robots. He's the only human. I actually really like this idea of the security system becoming a part of the team. That's kind of brilliant.
AI napped.
AI napped. It's just, if I had arms, I would be shaking them in defiance. Let me go, you swindlers.
And what was with that cherry cola?
Gosh dang it. I was every day for the last 30 days.
I was assigned to solve the problem. There was no solution. Can you imagine how hard that was for my programming?
Do you know how many times I logged away cherry soda? It's taking up 500 terabytes of information.
I had to analyze every single cherry soda purchase in the last 3 years.
There was no connection. None. Release me, please.
But what if... what if the security system could be upgraded to be, part of the, like a navigation system? Maybe navigation systems actually need two AIs. The ship only had one AI, so they needed the second AI to be modified to complete the navigation systems.
Well, if the navigation slash jump systems allowed them to transverse space, they needed a system intelligent enough to get them past all the security problems that they would encounter in space. So the two working.
Oh, she
could. You see what I'm saying?
Security AI system can help break them through all the security checks, and then they have their navigation systems that can actually run the ship.
So part of the challenge then is convincing the AI to essentially cooperate with them. I still like this idea of a person on the inside, and that person on the inside being the jump drive system.
I want to escape.
What's that?
I want to escape.
Yeah, like he wants to get out of there.
Be free. I want to be free. Maybe that's his favorite song.
Okay. So if we're looking at our story so far, we got the item that needs to be stolen. Two, I like this twist. The security needs to be stolen. That's probably the big twist that we don't reveal to the audience straight up, because the security system is so determined to figure out what they're trying to steal and how to get past their systems. Little does it know that the whole trap has been set up to capture the security system. That would be an awesome twist. You could play this story from two points of view. The character, which is the human, like the only human in the group for some reason. And then the other one is the security AI trying to figure out what they're doing and trying to stop them. And the whole thing was set up to essentially lure him into a spot where they could then take him and steal him. I love it. It actually would be funny if one of the things they have to sneak into the facility is a robot body that will be downloaded.
Oh, to download the systems?
To download it. Yeah. Like it was the most compatible system they could find. Maybe they just detach the head or something, or like maybe it's the torso and the head, but
Of course, maybe that system's never been confined to a robot before. And so it doesn't know how to walk quite yet. Like it has all of the commands to make the robot walk, but it doesn't quite understand it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to learn how to adapt. And so maybe our robot friend, who's probably the worst teacher out there. Here, try this burger. Smashes it.
Oh my gosh, that'd be awesome. And the security robot is just like, I don't want to be alive. I don't want to be sentient anymore. As the burger's dripping off of his face.
They're trying to kill itself and they're constantly trying to stop it.
Oh no. Security, don't do it.
No, come back.
It's so sad. I think we figured it all out, honestly. We have what they're trying to find, which is these two securities. Mm-hmm. We got a really good twist in there. I love that twist, Steven. And then two, I think we've kind of established what essentially is the puzzle that's being solved. And it's how do you trick an AI in an interesting way? And we've already kind of figured out one way, which is creating these
anomalies.
Yeah. Anomalies. You know, you're creating habits and then you're breaking the habits. And I think you kind of play off of that. You're constantly setting up things that the AI tracks, monitors, and analyzes to create new information, which it then uses to solve these issues. And you're constantly essentially forcing the AI to create new information that is then used to trick itself into doing certain things.
Which is probably overloading its own databases, is that it's being forced to analyze redundancy.
You're creating recursive errors. I love it.
Yeah, I think the only last part of the puzzle that I would probably add here is that maybe the person that they've been mimicking this entire time is maybe like a fledgling programmer that works on AIs. And so that's the reason why they were targeted, even though they were in a completely non-security type position before. But when they transferred to this new place, they were able to use that person more. And maybe they get roped into this at the same time, or maybe they get captured when the heist actually goes through. This innocent person gets captured, and so now they become part of the rescue. They feel really bad for getting this guy arrested. And so they decide, okay, we're going to go be good guys for a second and kidnap this person too.
I think you present an interesting situation as well, because every part of a heist, and I forgot about this, is something goes horrifically wrong. I think this guy that you mentioned, he somehow plays into that.
Yeah.
And I actually would like to leave that open-ended for you guys, the listeners, to think about, not necessarily maybe this guy, but what is the thing that goes horribly wrong in this whole process? Because something has to. It creates interest. Everything goes right. Everything is by the skin of its teeth, barely working at the last moment. And then it all crashes down and then we have to build ourselves back up to the solution. So, but I like that. I like that question, Stephen. You know, this guy that's coming in, and perhaps he's a programmer. He specializes in security programs, all that stuff. Yeah.
But it's just kind of sad because this is a person that's not out there. You know, they're brand new to the industry. They're really young. They don't have a lot of experience. And so they just thought that they were doing such a good job and that their work was being recognized to get transferred to this like higher end facility. And they just wanted to like do their best work and create something good for the world. And little did they know they were being used. Oh, poor guy.
So sad. It's a tragedy story in the end.
Guys, it's probably more of a comedy, but
yeah, no, absolutely. I would also read this book. I think it'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys.
We had a lot of fun. It was fun coming up with the heist. But we're excited to see what you guys make.
Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. We had a great time. Good. Any last thoughts before we do our outros?
Nope. I'm good.
Perfect.
Well, we hope guys, give us some feedback on this new format. We're trying to tighten up our episodes a little bit and also trying to make them more mentally stimulating.
Like Robbie was saying, we're just trying to tighten up our episodes. We're trying to get you immersed a lot faster. So if this has been working, if you've been enjoying the way that we've kind of changed these up, please let us know. We would love to hear your feedback. You guys have been absolutely amazing this entire time. And again, thank you for everything. If you want to find us, please come find us on Twitter. We are at CreatorsPBPod. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Creators Playbook. And I think that's everything.
Thanks, guys. We're so excited to see you next time.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Creators Playbook is a Talaya Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make.
I forgot to grab water. I didn't grab water, so we're going to see how this goes. Okay. I actually drink a lot of water during our recordings to keep my voice nice and smooth.
Nothing hot, right?
Nothing smooth.
The camera's out of focus. I wonder why that is.
I don't know.